If you have not turned in your Bibles or in the pew Bible in front of you to Luke chapter 2, I would invite you to do so today. I hope that you have come this morning free of burdens. I know that's not probably going to be completely accurate for everyone, but I hope that there's something this morning that encourages you and makes your heart light. In this world, we will have trouble, but Christ tells us to take courage because he has overcome the world. And some of us have heavier burdens than others, but these last couple of days are some of my favorite days of the entire year, especially around the 20th and 21st. And some of you know because I say this on a regular basis, but it's a happy day for me because we get more daylight now. The days are getting longer. The daylight hours it's no longer short. We're moving towards more daylight, to which all of God's people said, amen, praise the Lord. Darkness, and you know, but so it's a good day, even if it is 15 below. And I look forward to those moments in June when it's going to switch around, and that's a very bad day for me personally, and they start getting shorter. But it's like, you know, 10:30 at night, and you can still see all the way to the backyard. You know, it's not like 4:30, and like, where are the deer? I can't see anything. The days are getting longer. It's good. That's a really good day. Do you have good days? Do you have those moments in time where the burdens seem to lift, where life's drudgery and the moments, the mundane moments of our lives kind of give way to, and maybe not. Maybe life is that thick for you. And that's okay. That's okay. Take a deep breath. We have about, 45 more minutes or so, and then you can get back to it, but try to let them go just for a few minutes. You know, maybe think about that good moment, that good day, whether it's, a birthday celebration. My mother, for my birthday in October, we always got to choose what we wanted for supper, and Mom would make it. And you do know, I don't want to insult you, but I would ask for a brujol and a chocolate cake with peanut butter frosting for many, 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 many years. And it's a brujol is a flat steak wrapped around meatloaf with hard-boiled eggs that have been shelled in the center. And you can either braise it and cook it and roast it, or you can put it in marinara and just let it kind of stew. And I just love brujol. Maybe it's that. Maybe it's a remembrance of your birthday. Because I know birthdays are pretty big here, and you got to celebrate them on the day with the entire family over. I mean, if you got to do it on the weekend, it's just not the same, right? I mean, you know what I'm talking about, right? I mean, it's got to be on the day. I get it. That's wonderful. Or maybe that good moment for you guys, I don't know. This is another good moment for me, so I'll share it. But that, and this never really goes out of style, but it kind of goes in hiatus for a little while. The first time you fire the grill up, and it's still got all the crud on it from last year, and you start burning that smoke off, and you're getting ready to put the burgers down, you know? Do you like to grill? I love to grill. I mean, you know, January 1st, I'll be having steaks. I don't care how long it takes, but and the grill will be in the garage. I don't care. That first grilled hamburger, is that a good moment? Is that a good day for you? Or young people, you know, you're still in high school and you've got the academics and you know, you got the projects for this teacher and that teacher and the tests coming up. But you also know that the first practice for softball is coming up. Do you anticipate that day? Do you just want to get back on the field? I mean, you know, we're relegated right now to Nerf basketball in the bedroom, but pretty soon we're going to be starting our games, and oh man, what a schedule in January. Somebody better buy me a gas card. I don't know what's going to happen. We got to go to Bagley and all over the place. But that first practice, you know, and that first ache in the belly, if you're an athlete, you know, you anticipate. Anyways, what is your good day? What is that moment that lifts you, you know, out of everything? Well, it's Advent, right? I mean, we lit our candles, we did our readings, we did everything we're supposed to do. We focus on Christ, appropriately so. But Christmas, a couple of days away, you know, you run around like crazy for the past 3 weeks trying to buy the presents. And if you're like me, you know, you're probably going tomorrow. Oh, with all those people. I'm going fishing tomorrow. I'm not going shopping. We'll go shopping after Christmas. Okay, guys? That's great. That's all right. You know, or you're just waiting, you know, for the day. It's a good day, right? I mean, it should be a good day. I mean, I know there's a lot of preparation, a lot of food that's got to be cooked and people coming over and everything's got to be perfect. The candle's got to be lit and it's got to smell like potpourri and, you know, you got to have enough creamer. But Christmas, it's a good day. Jesus Christ was born. And we can wrangle and talk about the fact that it really probably wasn't December 25th. It was probably more around Easter time. And we just do it because we anticipated it. It's really a pagan winter solstice holiday and Christmas tree and all that. Hoo-ha. Jesus Christ was born. Almighty God, who without even having to get his hands dirty, spoke, and the world came into existence. He said, "Let there be light." That's a really good day that we can, by faith, have our sins forgiven and know Almighty God personally, face to face. Sons and daughters of the King of the universe. It's a really good day. We have been looking during Advent at the moments of Christ's birth, the first Christmas, where literally God rips into history like he never has before. I mean, he just totally cleaves reality in half at a point in time that we really don't know when it was. Because of the way in which he came into the world, there was no marker. There was no birth certificate that you could go back to get your social security number so that you could enter college and get life insurance. I don't know, whatever you use your birth certificate before. Nobody noticed. But God rips into history and cleaves reality by the birth of this child. That's a really good day. Now, it's not the only time that God has done that, but in like no other point in human history did he do that. There was that moment where at the beginning, God formed the dust of the earth and made Adam and Eve. He ripped into reality and formed a human being, and from his rib formed another human being and began the human race in his image and likeness. And that was a good day. That was a good moment. That was wonderful. Because that was before sin ever entered the world. And they walked with God in the cool of the day. They had the fellowship that we all long for in our hearts that we try to fill with so many other things every day. Even Christians. God, for some reason, and Christ, for some reason, isn't enough for us. At times, we have to have more stuff, better stuff, to fill an ache and a hole in our heart. God is most glorified, glory to God in the highest, when we are most satisfied in him. Not with the next level of the video game, not with the first practice, not with anything else. Are you satisfied with him this Christmas? Is he all in all? If he is, praise God. Go home. Get out of here. Worship. God rips into human history again. Repeatedly, you know, he does. When Moses is out on the backside of the desert and the people cry out for a deliverer and out of their bondage from Egypt, and the shepherd, about 80 years old or so, sees a burning bush. And God talks to him and says, "Moses, take off the sandals of your feet because where you're walking is holy ground." And it begins the deliverance of millions of God's chosen people out of bondage. Through one man, delivered them. Do you remember when Joshua didn't know if he could take Jericho, goes out once again, the backside of the desert a little bit, has an encounter with the angel of the Lord, usually a term given to Christ before he was born when he came to earth to talk to people. And Joshua asks, he says, wait a minute now, I recognize you're not from here. You're from a totally different world. Are you for us or for our enemies? And do you remember the answer that the angel of the Lord gave? He said, neither. But as the commander of the hosts of heaven, I have now come. You see, that's where God rips into history again. He just kind of steps in and alters the course of everything. There's no way these freed slaves have any chance of defeating the walls of Jericho. Joshua asks the normal questions that who you for? Because I perceive you're pretty powerful. You got something going on here. You for us or for our enemies? I mean, I want to know, because I'm not going to battle if you're on their side. And then the prophets. God speaks to them, and they speak to us, willingly or unwillingly. The agency of the prophets, the way in which God communicated, he didn't directly step in, but he sent other messengers to say, this is the word of the Lord. And then when Malachi ends, God goes silent. No more intervening. Nothing. He doesn't send a Moses, he doesn't send a Joshua, he doesn't send an angel, doesn't send anybody. No more prophets. For 400 years. We fight pretty hard for our freedom in our country right now. We send men and women all over the world to give their lives for our freedom so that we can maintain and live the way we want to and worship the way we want to and argue and fight and watch what we want to on TV and give our lives for whatever we want. And don't we say to our kids, you can grow up to be president of the United States of America? Well, now think about this for a second. I mean, that's absolutely true. Anybody can become president. You know, if you're 35 years old and you were born here, well, never mind that part. I mean, that's probably gone now, but good. You are light in heart. That's wonderful. I'm glad to hear it. But do you realize in the 200 and some odd years that we've been in existence, there's only been 40 some people to actually attain to that office? The chance that anybody in this room, go play the lottery. No, I didn't just say that, did I? Will become president is really minuscule. I wonder what somebody's got to know that statistic, but we live average, wonderful lives of good moments. But there was silence for 400 years. Would you be willing to wait 400 years for God to speak again? You have scripture, but no intervention of God. No one saying, thus says the Lord. No one saying, repent by God's word. Until one moment that Ariel read for us. You see, Joseph and Mary, they had private conversations with angels. There's nothing really public about it. But in Luke chapter 2, starting at verse 8, there's a moment here, beloved, that I've been trying to set up. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flocks by night. See, they're not going to be president. They're not going to be governor. They're not going to be anybody. They're just going to be who they are, delivering their milk, taking care of their bees, making food for the kids at school, planting crops, running hardware stores, out in the oil fields. I'm looking around, tending cattle, running their grocery stores, doing their computer business, being retired. Everything we do, just like that. They were out in the field doing their jobs. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them. How'd you like to be in Hardware Hanks tomorrow when that happened? How'd you like to be there? Whoa! And the glory of the Lord shone around them. It hadn't happened in 400 years. It hadn't happened in 400 years. And then all of a sudden, it's there. To the average man. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be for all people." Do you really think that's how he said it? I mean, just, you know, just straight out English prose. "Don't be afraid, for I bring you good news of great joy that shall be to all people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find the baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly, there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." Now, there's a group of young people from our congregation that kind of hang out on Sundays sometimes, and they, you know, plink guitars and play the drums and practice music. And I don't know when we're going to get them to sing for us, but, you know, hopefully they will. But if you ever hang out here, it's probably official. I'm probably too old because it's way too loud for me. It's way too loud. And I'm a headbanger. I really am. You know, that's my kind of music, but it's really too loud. So in any case, keep going. Praise God. You musicians, keep going. That's what it's for. It's all right. It's cool. It's all good. It's all good. You good? You good? Okay. Can you imagine the volume for those shepherds of a multitude of the heavenly hosts? This is an army. This is not a small group of angels. It's not like, you know, a Christmas pageant where there's like eight little girls doing the lines. I mean, that's beautiful. I mean, that really is beautiful, and I love it. But we got a host here of the heavenly host, and it's a military term, which to me is very interesting in this whole picture. And Jesus, when and asked by Herod and those guys when he was getting his interviews there to death, said, "You know, if I wanted to, I could call down a host, and you wouldn't have a prayer. You wouldn't have a leg to stand on." And here they are. After 400 years, God is coming. And he has already ripped into history because the child has already been born when they give their message. What is it? Just stop for a second. 400 years of silence, haven't heard from God specifically, personally, for 400 years. The baby's born, and then the message comes. First thing. Don't be afraid. What do you fear? What do you fear? Now, granted, if we were in Hardware Hanks tomorrow and the angel showed up, I might be a little afraid. I mean, they're pretty powerful beings, and you know, when they disclose themselves the way they truly are, it could be awesome. I've never seen one personally, but I've heard. Don't fear. Don't be afraid. Do you fear God? Scripture tells us that we ought to not fear the one who can kill our bodies and then nothing, but rather fear him who can both kill the body and send the soul into hell forever. But the angels say, don't be afraid. Don't fear us. And then, did you see that word? It's a wonderful word. Do not be afraid, for behold, look, use your eyes to see. Don't ignore. Look, open your eyes, because it's right in front of you. For behold, look, I bring you good news. Good news. You've been watching the Weather Channel this morning? You've been looking to see what the Mid-Atlantic region of our country's facing? It's not too good a news. Most of our news is predicated on being bad. And we watch it. We ingest it. We look for it. We TiVo it. Because we can't miss what so-and-so says about such-and-such. And I'm right there. We buy books and read them about all of the yuck that's going on today. And he says, I bring you good news. We all need good news. Those moments, right? Those good moments of great joy. Good news of great joy. Not of political parties and car accidents and bad economies or any other thing. Great joy. Better than any winter solstice where daylight hours are getting better. Better than any birthday supper with Brujol. Better than any moment you and I can conceive of in our average lives. Good news of great joy that shall be for all peoples. You see, regardless of whether or not we trust Christ or not and have eternal life through his death and resurrection, the news is still the same. And it is good news of great joy for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David, a location. They know exactly where he was. It's a pretty big city. Well, not really. But they know. They don't have to go and search. They know specifically where he's going to be. He's located. This good news of great joy for them. A Savior. At the very beginning, when God rips into reality and to history and that child is born, the mission of that child was declared by those angels, by that angel. Excuse me, the host isn't quite there yet. He's going to be a Savior. Not going to be a carpenter. Not going to be an itinerant preacher. Not going to be a rabbi. Not going to be all the things. Not going to be a miracle worker. All the things that he really did. But his mission is to be a Savior has been born into you. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes. Right? Swaddling clothes. We got to have swaddling in there. They're just strips of cloth. I mean, you know, the poorest of the poor got to have them. They bind up their babies. So not only do they know where he's being born, they know what to look for. The child wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. Don't go look at the hospital. Don't go look in the royal palace. Don't go look in the dung heap, in the barn, in the feed trough of those animals. That's where you're going to find this Savior. They know everything they need to know. What do you fear? Have you looked? Is it good news for you? Does it create joy in your heart? Is your response to the fact that the message of Christ is for all peoples, applied to those who have faith in Christ? You and I don't have to go to the city of David. We don't have to look in a manger, but we need a Savior. Is he your Savior today? Do you know him? Are you known by him? Then should your response today be any different than the multitude of the heavenly hosts? Are you saying with them, glory to God? Glory to God in the highest. Who gets the glory? God. No institution, no preacher, no message. God gets the glory. I was looking this morning as we were getting ready. We have the Billy Graham book. It says Christ, God's ambassador on it. That's wonderful. I don't know that Billy Graham has ever wanted the glory for himself. He's human. I'm sure he's wrestled with it. But he gives glory to God. Is that your life? I mean, maybe you're not going to be a preacher to billions over the course of your life. But does your life give glory to God? Is that your one reason for existing? It is. And whether you know him or not, whether your eternal destiny is sealed in heaven by the Holy Spirit, or if you are going to be eternally condemned to the fires of hell, that will bring glory to God. It will happen. You will bring glory to God no matter what, because of who he is. Glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace among men. Oh, beloved, if I got to tell you that we need peace among men, you have not been paying attention. You have not been paying attention. We need peace every day among men, with whom he is pleased. A very interesting phrase. Because Jesus Christ is our peace. And God the Father is definitely pleased with his Son. Glory to God in the highest. Beloved, are you having a good day? Is it a good moment? Christ has come, and in a couple of days, we'll all be doing it. In whatever form we do. We'll wake up on the 25th and say Merry Christmas to one another. Maybe a little later. Maybe a little earlier. But please, take a moment on that day and look to God and join your voice with the hosts of heaven who on that first Christmas said, glory, glory to God in the highest. Let us pray together. Almighty God, we are grateful for this day. We are not worthy. We are not capable. But because of your grace and mercy, because of your Son, Jesus Christ, and all that he means and has done, we pray in his name for your glory. Amen.